as we continue from where we were on Wednesday night. For tonight, we're looking at seven things worth remembering from the book of Job. What does Job teach you and me about ourselves? The first thing we looked at this past Sunday night was we never know ahead of time the plans that God has for us. We never know ahead of time. Job certainly didn't know the plans that God had for him ahead of time, and neither will you and I. And so tonight, as we continue that, we looked at several verses and passages of Scripture there. And when you read those that we read this past week from Jeremiah and Proverbs and Isaiah and Philippians and James and Peter, as well as the book of Job, you and I, when we meditate on those, it enables you and me to see the ultimate plan that God has for us. It's a plan that's not designed to weaken us. It's a plan that's not designed to destroy our faith, but it gives us a great hope for the future. But that doesn't mean that things are going to be easier or comfortable, because God is the God not only of the impossible, but He is the God of the unexpected. And many things in our lives will come surprisingly to us. It will be different than you or I would probably have ever pondered or planned, or for that matter, preferred. In fact, in Job chapter 1, verses 20 to 22, Job makes this declaration. Then Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, most of us probably would never be able to make that kind of a statement. When things become so catastrophic and they come crashing down all around us, and we've lost our health, we've lost our wealth, we've lost all of our earthly possessions, we've lost the most important thing in our lives, our children. But this is one of the things that the book of Job teaches you and me about ourselves, that we never know ahead of time the plans God has for each of us. A second thing that you and I learn from the book of Job that Job teaches us about ourselves is a vertical perspective will keep us from horizontal panic. I want you to think about that for a minute. You see, a vertical perspective is an upward look. We talked about that this morning. Do you have an upward look tonight? Is your outlook an upward look to the one who makes all the difference in all of the world in our lives? You see, vertically, when you and I are trusting, as Ken led us in a few moments ago, and obeying, and we know that we're never alone, for Jesus' word promises that His assurance, His personal presence is with us. In fact, when you read the 23rd Psalm, you find that He's the God of personal presence. You find He's the God of perfect provision. You find He's the God of perennial peace. You see, when our vertical perspective is focused and centered first and foremost on none other than Christ first in our hearts and in our lives, then as you look around at the horizontal things of life, and tonight it wouldn't take us long, you and I could look around tonight. We can listen to tonight's news. We can pick up tomorrow's newspaper, and I can assure you, horizontally speaking, you and I would be troubled to the very core of ourselves to realize all of the issues that are in the world, all of the problems that are in the world, and kings and queens and presidents and leaders all over the world are trying to or think they have the answer to all of these earthly confounded things. But I want you to know God is the only answer. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the only answer to all the problems that you and I have in the world. But a vertical perspective will keep us from a horizontal panic. I mean, you know, when you look around and you see out there in the ports, the ships that are filled with products that need to be in stores and shelves and all of these kinds of things, it would be very easy to panic. I can assure you tonight, if you and I lived in a third world country, in the most remotest parts of Africa, in many of those places where some of them have never heard the word of God, you see, as the news showed the other day, I had to look away. I couldn't watch those starving little children with their bloated stomachs and their just skin stretched over bones. And I thought about the waste of the monies of the world that could feed starving children in the world. Folks, let me tell you, if you look at the horizontal tonight, whether it's in America, whether it's in a second world country, a third world country tonight, when you look at the horizontal, it could bring in incredible panic to mind in your lives. I'm grateful tonight that I'm looking at the horizontal, but the peace that comes in the midst of the panic of the horizontal is the peace that comes from knowing the great provider of life, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provider. I'm grateful to know tonight that He's in heaven, and even when the world horizontally looks like it's totally out of control, it's gone awry, it's gone amiss, I can assure you tonight there is a peace in the world that the world cannot give, but it's a peace that the world cannot take away. And that peace comes from a vertical perspective in the midst of everything that you and I see in life. Don't misunderstand Job's response to the devastation. The Bible says he tore his robe, he fell on the ground, he began to worship God. Was Job devastated? Absolutely. Beyond our total comprehension tonight, I mean, if you've lost 10 children, if you've lost all of your life earnings, if you have lost your integrity and respect around the area that you live in, I can assure you it would be a devastating effect upon your life. Job didn't escape into some type of mental state of denial. Job, when he tore his robe, it was a sign in ancient times of incredible, incredible, deep, deep grief and anguish that he was in. He certainly did not deny what was happening, but the Bible says that he fell on the ground and he worshiped God. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. So blessed be the name of the Lord." I think one of the hardest things, probably for all of us that are human, is the simple fact that when you lose a significant person in your life, to be able to say, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, so blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, the human side of that for most of us is that most of us cannot extrapolate that from what's happened in our lives. But for those who can, I would have to say their vertical uplook is going way beyond the horizontal plane on which they are living. You see, Job faced the music, somber, sad as he was. He's overwhelmed by all of the loss, and so he tears his robe. He's broken. He's saddened. He's grieved over his losses. But in the middle of all of that, he fell to the ground and he worshiped. When you and I, on the horizontal plane of life that you and I are living, and things don't go the way we had planned, and things are not looking too great from our vantage point, I can assure you of this. When we worship in the midst of that type of picture, that type of situation, God gets the glory, and in due time, we will be exalted. Job's vertical perspective is very clear here. It's not muddied by all of his horizontal surroundings. Nothing that happens on this horizontal earthly plane that you and I live on would cause him to panic. It's as if Job says this. I want you to think about this. It's as if Job is saying, I had, I enjoyed, I was blessed. I had, I enjoyed, I was blessed. I think that's the reason Job could fall to the ground in the midst of his incredible pain and suffering and sorrow. I think he could fall to the ground and worship the God that he would be able to say, for I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day. And though after worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job could say that. Where on earth did Job learn that? How did Job come to that conclusion in his life? It's simply because of a faith that was planted so deeply on a foundation in his life that absolutely nothing was going to break apart the foundation on which he believed in God. I had, I enjoyed, I was blessed. You know, I think the same God who gave this to Job is the same God that knows all about your struggles tonight. Jesus knows all about our struggles. When Sharon sang the words to that song a few moments ago, how that resonates to you and to me tonight, to know that the same God that Job fell on the ground and worshiped in the midst of his grief, Job had, Job enjoyed, Job was blessed. You see, I think one of the things that Job did that you and I need to take away is Job honored and he praised God. Don't you know when he bowed that day? If you and I could have heard the prayer that he prayed, if we could have only saw that in essence he's saying, I had, there was a time I had, all of my family joined together with me. There was a time I had servants galore. There was a time that, materially speaking, my possessions were great. There was a time that I was so well respected in the gates of the city where the elders sat. There was a time that my wife and I enjoyed. I had, I enjoyed. I'm blessed. When I think about the losses that we have in life, whatever they may be, and they're numerous. There are so many losses tonight, you and I would not be able to plumb the depth of the losses that people have in life. You just think about in people's health issues, things that have to be removed, people who lose their limb or their foot or both, whether it's in war, whether it's because of a lack of circulation and vascular issues, whether it's because of diabetes, women who go through breast cancer, they lose a significant part of who they are. We could go on and on and on with the losses people have with their children and they're estranged. situations and relationships that once were great that no longer are, if you and I could assume what Job must have assumed, I enjoyed, I was blessed. His vertical perspective kept him from horizontal panic. I love that song that we sing sometimes, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place." Let me tell you, Job's faith was in a resting place. God was his refuge. God was his strength. God was his song in the night seasons. And when life is good and all is well, we all have a great view of God. Our view of God is high, but whenever things begin to happen and the hardships begin to come and our health takes a nosedive, how quickly we are silenced into a state of cynicism about our attitude, our faith begins to waver, and how quickly we're tempted to lower our view of who God truly, truly is. Job teaches you and me tonight that we never know ahead of time the plans God has for us. Secondly, he teaches us that a vertical perspective will keep us from a horizontal panic. Thirdly, he teaches us discernment is needed in order to detect advice from good people, from well-meaning individuals. Let's talk about that for a moment. When Job's wife, when her compassion overran her with an alien thought, an unguarded moment in life, and she begins to give rise to the freedom to verbalize, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" I want you to think about that. Discernment is needed to detect wrong advice from well-meaning people. There are lots of people that will give you advice. They're good people. They mean well. But you better have some spiritual discernment to determine, is the advice they're giving me, is it godly wisdom? Is it godly advice? You see, Job's wife, in the midst of all of that, consider her counsel in questioning what God had admired in Job. And that was, remember when God said to Satan, "Job still holds fast his integrity." But all of a sudden, when the chips were down and cynicism began to roll in and you feel that you've been betrayed and God didn't show up and he's silent, in all the midst of that, it's easy as human beings for you and to me to say things that certainly are not becoming of us as a Christ follower. So discernment, you and I are taught from the lessons in the book of Job. Discernment in order to detect when we've been giving wrong advice from well-meaning people. Job's wife's advice, no matter how well-meaning she was, it was not correct advice. There's a fourth thing that you and I learn that Job teaches us from the book of Job. When things turn from bad to worse, sound theology helps us remain strong and stable. Any of y'all remember Charles Schulz and the Peanuts cartoon? Did that ring a bell with you tonight? Well, I love some of those, and Linus has got his blanket. He's standing at the picture window. They're in the family room. Of course, Lucy, who's always in charge, she stands beside him. I mean, it's raining cats and dogs, sheets of rain, And there in the backyard, as they look out the picture window, Linus sighs and says, "My, look at all that rain. If it keeps going like this, it's going to flood the area and maybe the whole world." Lucy hesitates for a minute. She looks over at Linus. She says, "That'll never happen. It says in Genesis 9, 7 to 17, God never will again flood this earth. And he's put a rainbow in the sky to prove that that promise is true." And Linus looks at Lucy and shakes his head and said, "Oh, you've taken a big load off my mind." And Lucy responds immediately, sound theology has a way of doing that. Sound theology has a way of doing that. When things turn from bad to worse, sound theology helps you and me remain strong and remain stable. I think one of the greatest needs in our world today, in our churches today, is sound theology, a platform on which our faith is rooted and grounded in the biblical principles of the Word of God. There's a fifth thing that you and I learn from the book of Job that Job teaches us. Caring and sensitive friends know when to come, how to respond, and what to say. I don't know if any of you ever saw the movie Fried Green Tomatoes. It's one of my favorite movies just because of some of the homespun philosophy that's in there. But you'll remember the Whistle Stop Cafe, and the city was alive, the little town, the little country town, it's alive with excitement. And during all of those days, the people loved it. But when it closed down and the town began to die, the life went out of that. Caring and sensitive friends know when to come. If you'll remember in that movie, one of the main characters, she dies. And one of the ladies turns and says, "A lady knows when it's time to leave." Caring people, sensitive people, know when to come, but they also know how to respond and what to say. You see, one of the things you and I can learn from Job's friends is this. If you don't know what to say that is going to be a positive thing, hug them and hush. Hug them and hush. Because it's the things that we say that many people have never experienced that hurts people the worst. There's a sixth thing that the book of Job teaches us. It's easy to be Monday morning quarterbacks when we encounter another's outburst. Another's outburst. You see, it's easy to point out everybody else's mistakes. And that's how Job's friends responded to Job when they had never experienced what Job was experiencing in his life. If you've never lost, how can you give advice? If you've never lost, how can you give advice? I've seen people make this humongous mistake 1,000 times. I've been in situations that I cringed and would have crawled under a rock if there had been one to crawl under. When somebody had miscarried, or when somebody had lost a child, and some well-meaning soul comes in, but they shoot their mouths off and make such idiotic statements. "Well, you can have another child." Have y'all ever heard anybody do that? Say that? Please don't do that. You have no idea how that hurts people. Trust me, I know. I've sat in the counseling, pastoral counseling seat. I've listened through the years for people to make those kinds of statements. A seventh thing, and lastly tonight, Job teaches us that the cultivation of obedient endurance is the crowning mark of maturity. You see, one of the major wholesome, healthy Christians is the hope of reaching maturity before you and I have to exit this life. You and I, as we grow older, we should grow more mature in our thinking, in our discernment, in listening more and speaking less. As you grow older, as you and I age, I believe Job accomplished that goal. No wonder we read where he died, an old man full of days. He lived the rest of the next 140 more years full of enthusiasm and passion. Now, may I say this? Not every story ends like Job's. Not everybody is given back their children or more children. Not everybody is given back their health. Not everyone is given back their wealth. So when we come to the book of Job, here's two things that can happen. Trouble can be viewed as an intrusion, or you're just outraged. Or it can be, secondly, an opportunity to respond in specific obedience. You see, to God's will. And that's what James speaks about in the book of James about endurance. Someone said endurance is staying on the path of obedience despite counter indications. It's determination to pursue holiness when the conditions of holiness are not favorable. It's a choice in the midst of our suffering to do what God has asked us to do, and whatever it is, and for as long as He asks us to do it. Oswald Chambers wrote these words: to choose suffering makes no sense at all. To choose God's will in the midst of our suffering makes all the sense in the world. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you suffering tonight? Do you feel misplaced in life? Do you feel that life has let you down? You see, to choose God's will in the middle of our suffering makes all the sense in the world. To choose suffering makes no sense, but to choose God's will in the midst of our suffering. Let me tell you, we choose how we respond. Some of us become better, some of us become bitter. If you become bitter, I can assure you, you're not a winner. You will not win. You will be disappointed at every turn of the road. I've used this illustration, and in closing, I'm going to use it again because it bears repeating. I have learned much in all the years that I have spent visiting people in the nursing homes. One of my senior adults, many years ago, with Emmanuel, precious little old lady, godly little old lady, worked hard all of her life. She said, we worked from sunup to sundown. She said, we had a payment coming due on the farm. There was no way in the world we could pay it. She said, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, which was my prayer time. I would sneak out of my house and head to my garden because it wouldn't be long before my three little girls would be trying to find me. She said, I got out on the ground that morning at 5 o'clock. It was on Friday. We received a note of foreclosure coming Monday if we did not pay the price of what our payment was. Not knowing how on earth we would ever do it, I knelt on the ground in my garden and I prayed, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know I believe by faith that you're going to do it. She said, I went through the weekend. Monday morning came. I went out to the mailbox to get the mail. And there was a check from an insurance company that we had overpaid that we didn't know anything about. It was to the penny for the payment for our farm on that day. She's the same one that would tell me when life brought me lemons, I chose to make lemonade. She said, I did not want to live with my children. I did not want to be a burden to them. And so I went to the nursing home. With all of the hard labor through the years of working on the farm and working cattle and all of the menial tasks that we have, she said, my back was worn out. She said, I sit here in the nursing home and I lie on this bed most of the time and I look up, her vertical look. And she said, I begin to pray every day for people that the Lord brings to my mind. And she said, oh yes, have I told you? On Sunday morning, she said, I take the phone book and at random, I say, Lord, lead me to call 10 people this morning. She says, at random, I selected a phone number, and I would say, I'm an old woman in the nursing home, and I can't go to church this morning. I know you don't know me, and I don't know you, but I'm just going to ask you, would you do me a favor? Would you go to church for me today? I would walk away from the nursing home with far more wisdom and far more discernment from them than what I was able to give to them. And I think about many, many through the years that have taught me many lessons. When I look at the book of Job and I see that the cultivation of obedient endurance is the crowning mark spiritual maturity. May that be our prayer as well. Next Wednesday night and the following Sunday night, I'll finish the book of Job. We're going to look at this Wednesday night, what does the book of Job teach us about God? We see what the book of Job teaches us about ourselves in the seven things that we've had both tonight and this past Wednesday night. And we'll look at the things that the book of Job teaches us about the Almighty. Will you stand as we pray together tonight?